Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we need to do that because there are many, many toxic chemicals out there in the world. They're in the consumer products we buy, they're in our homes, they're even in our bodies, they're in the air we breathe, in the water we drink, and the food we eat. But not everything is toxic. And that's what we talk about on this show, is how to recognize what's toxic, how to recognize what's not, and what to do to remove toxic chemicals from our lives. Today is Wednesday, October 16th, and I'm here in sunny Clearwater, Florida. And the sun is out today. We had a little fog this morning, but today we're going to talk about sunscreen and sun protection, which is something I know quite a bit about, living here in Florida, where it's sunny most of the year. I think it's 336 days a year in Clearwater, Florida. We have sun. My guest today sells a natural sunscreen product, but he's also written a book about sunscreens. And so he has quite a lot of information that you're going to be interested in about how sunscreens work and what are the toxic chemicals in them and everything. So we're going to talk about that. My guest today is Michael Ress. He's the president of Oceana Naturals. He's the author of a book called Sun Care Decoded, and he's the U.S. authorized distributor for Melonsol 100% natural sunscreen. This is so natural, it's even certified to be natural. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm in Florida good. As well, North Florida.
I thought you were in California or someplace.
Used to be. I'm all over the place. But I live in Panama City Beach.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're both in Florida. So I just first want to say that my listeners might be wondering, why are we talking about sunscreen in October? And, you know, you would think that we would have this show on in the spring. Well, we'll have it on again in the spring, and we'll talk about sunscreen at that time of year. But I think that most people don't even think about why they might need sunscreen in the winter. One of the reasons might be that you might be coming to Florida, where we need it all year long. You might be going to some tropical island for a vacation. You might be going skiing. And so there's uses for sunscreen all the time. But before we talk about any of those things, Michael, I want to hear your story. How did you get so interested in sunscreen?
It's really quite interesting. Although I'm African-American, one of the biggest myths is that people who have darker skin don't get sunburned. And I spent a lot of time in Hawaii in the 70s and didn't. But, you know, ozone as it is gets a little thinner year after year. And I went back about 8 years ago, and I did get burned on my chest and my back lying around the pool the first day I arrived. Now, I've been experiencing actually participating in a natural lifestyle, non-toxic lifestyle for some period of time. I'm not fanatical about it, but I follow sort of an elimination situation where I eliminate certain things, certain things I just won't eat. And it's kind of been like that for about 30 years. I came across, I got this, I was working one day in my office, and I got a sample of, along with some other products that I'd ordered from a company, and it was this Melonsol sunscreen. At the time, it was an SPF 18. And I said, I looked at it for a couple of weeks, just sat there, but it nagged me. And I said, what is this natural sunscreen? I mean, I hadn't really worn sunscreen, but I remember that getting burned in Hawaii. So I said, I picked it up, looked at the back, called the inventor of the product, got him on the phone, and said, what is up with this? Natural sunscreen, it was so foreign to me. And he told me a story. He'd had non-melanoma skin cancer and, you know, went through the process of wearing all these sunscreens, and it was a very inspiring story. And I said, you know what, I send me a bottle of this. I want to try it. We're going to Costa Rica, my girlfriend and I. She's German Welsh, and she's got fair skin. And I said, if she can deal with this, if she can, we can play golf down in the tropics of Costa Rica and go lay out by the pool and hang out and float around in the water for a whole day and not get burned, then I'm going to be impressed. And pretty much that's exactly what happened. And I was blown away by it, because I'm not one who likes the thought of slathering chemicals all over myself. I mean, I use a natural shaving gel, natural soaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what I do, non-toxic. And to me, it's just common sense not to put that stuff on me. It just didn't seem right. And so I when I came back, long story short, I asked him, I said, how are you marketing this? How are you distributing this? I said, I'd like to give it a try. And it's been 7 years later now, and we've just hooked up with a very, very large, not only U.S., but global distributor. So I think we're going to really get out there in a big way in this next year.
Well, I think that's a good thing. I when I moved here to Florida, I used to live in California, another sunny place. But Florida is closer to the equator than where I lived in Northern California, and so the sun is more intense here. And one of the first things I did was I said, oh, I better find out what I need to do to protect my skin from all this sun. And I actually wrote a whole ebook about it. I don't think I've got it up on my site right now, but I did this whole research project and wrote a whole ebook about how to protect your skin from the sun naturally. And as part of that, I researched and I don't remember how many years ago this was. It might have been before you had Melanzol, because I researched every sunscreen I could find, and I decided that there were no sunscreens that I was willing to use.
At the time.
And now, actually, there's yours, and there's another one I just saw at the Natural Products Expo that has natural ingredients as well. And so what I came to after all that research was that what we need to do is, number one, stay out of the sun as much as possible, especially during the peak hours. But you don't want to stay out of the sun, because we need sun for good health. And so that was kind of a dilemma for me. Another thing I thought I did was I went out and I bought hats with brims so that I could wear a hat if I needed to. And another thing was to revive that old custom of carrying a parasol. That's why women carried parasols, was to protect their fair skin from the sun. And so I was just looking at all those things, but there's a lot of situations where you do want to have a sunscreen. So I think that it's important to take a new look at sunscreens, talk about the chemicals, which we're going to do today, and also to understand when to use them, when not to use them, what are the goods, the pros and the cons. And you have much more information about sunscreens in your book than I have in mine, all the different ins and outs about using sunscreen. So if anybody's interested in sunscreen, just go to listen today, but also go to Michael's website, which is puresunscreen.com, and look at his book, Sun Care Decoded. It's only 99 cents, and that is, I think, excellent investment in finding out about sunscreen if that's something that you want to learn about, or you can just go buy his sunscreen. So, Michael, tell us, let's start talking about sunscreens. First, would you tell us what SPF means?
Well, sun protection factor. It was invented in 1962. It's a gauge, the test that gauges the effectiveness of active ingredients against UVB light rays, okay, ultraviolet B. And that's all it's good for, is gauging ultraviolet B. And as you know, there's ultraviolet A as well. There is no specific scale. There's a couple of tests that determine low, medium, and high that the EU has for UVA. And the FDA created its own more simplistic test that is being used now to determine broad spectrum, although the confusing thing about it is it doesn't distinguish whether one sunscreen is better than another at protecting from UVA ultraviolet A.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know. So that's why I ended up saying, well, if you really want to protect your skin, cover up, you know, and sit in the shade and all those kinds of things. We need to take a break, but we'll be back right after this message, and we'll talk more about the chemicals that are in sunscreen. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Michael Russ. He's the author of Sun Care Decoded, and you can visit his website at puresunscreen.com. We'll be right back. Thank you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Michael Russ, and he's the author of Skin Sun Care Decoded, and he also sells a 100% natural sunscreen called Melonsol, and his website is puresunscreen.com. Michael, let's talk about the chemicals in sunscreen. I know in your book you have a whole chapter, and we're not going to be able to cover every single one of them. You have a very long list. But tell us some of the major, the most common toxic ingredients in sunscreens and how they affect your health.
Sure. Basically, you know, the FDA has approved 17 total active ingredients for filtering sunlight, and 15 of them are chemical, and 2 are available in a physical or natural form, which most people know as zinc or titanium dioxide. One of the most common is oxybenzone. It's a real bad boy because it's also an environmental toxin. I think the CDC had studied 2,600 people and discovered that 97% of them had oxybenzone in their bloodstream, whether they'd used sunscreen before or not. Oxybenzone. Yeah, it's also been, it's one of those little bad boys that survives the sewage treatment process. It's an environmental toxin. It's out there in our environment. We can't get rid of it. And what I try to make people aware of is that these sunscreen chemicals are also, many of them hormone, or say estrogenic. They're hormone active. They mimic the hormone estrogen. And that's really the process of how they work on your skin. They soak in to your skin. They are absorbed by your skin. They do not lay on top of your skin like zinc or titanium dioxide. And in this process of heat absorption, when they decay, when they no longer have the ability to absorb or filter light after anywhere between an hour and a half and 2.5 hours, they take this absorbed energy and release it when they deteriorate, when those chemical and that chemical reaction deteriorates. And that produces or generates free radicals. Now, free radicals are those harmful, pesky, little unstable molecules that cause damage to skin cells. And that they can also stress skin. They contribute to sunburn. They contribute to early skin aging and non-melanoma skin cancer. So that's the worst of what the people, the biggest aha moment I get is when I tell people, I experience is when I tell people, you know, you're wearing this chemical sunscreen, you're spraying this stuff all over your body or slathering on this chemical lotion, and you're doing it because you want to prevent sunburn and skin cancer down the line or whatever. If you knew that the ingredients that you're using to filter light created the same free radicals that the sun, that are created when you step out in the sun, provide early skin aging, would you still wear this stuff? And many of them go, "Oh, wait a minute, I didn't know that." Well, this is not me saying this. This is the UC Riverside in California. University of California, Riverside did a brilliant study. They took 3 active ingredients and found out 2 things. First, 1-2% of those ingredients enter your bloodstream. That was the first thing. And the second thing is that they proved beyond a shadow of doubt what I just said, that within the test was 0, 20, and 60 minutes. They took pictures in a fluoroscope, I believe it was, of the skin, and they showed the progression of free radical creation, generation, on the skin without even going out into the sun. So that, to me, is not a sunscreen. Sunscreen is
No, that isn't a sunscreen. That's something that harms your skin. The whole point of sunscreen is to protect your skin, and that what you clearly show here is that the sunscreens are actually damaging your skin instead of protecting it when they have these chemical ingredients. Something that I just like to add, you said it, but I really want to underline it, is that your skin is like the number one organ of how toxic chemicals get in your body. That you can, people think that poisons go in your body by eating them or drinking them, and that they go inside your body into your stomach. But actually what happens is when they go in your stomach, there's food and there's fat that slows down the absorptions. When you put something on your skin, it goes straight into your bloodstream. And just try it. Next time you put something on your skin, especially if it's something that's scented, whether it's natural or synthetic, I can taste the thing that I put on my skin, on my tongue, in my mouth, within seconds after putting it on my body.
That is amazing. You have a real heightened sense of your own awareness about your own body, which
yes.
I think is incredibly admirable, because a lot of people just don't pay it that close attention. But it is true.
It's simply an awareness thing. Because I think that a lot of people are just not aware of what's going on around them or what's going on in their bodies. But once you start paying attention, then you start to see, well, gee, I just put this stuff on my body and I can taste that perfume that I just put on.
Wow.
And so just pay attention next time you put something on your body and see how you do with it. Because it really is, it shocked me. I mean, you can breathe in toxic chemicals, but you can also, as soon as you breathe them in, if you breathe right out, you can breathe the toxic chemical out before it actually absorbs in your body. But you put something on your skin and it's in your body, it's racing around through your bloodstream to all the little nooks and crannies of your body, and it's a toxic chemical.
Correct. It spreads all over the place.
And that's why this is so important.
You're right. Skincare is a big issue. It is, from men's shaving gels and aftershaves and women's lotions and makeup. I mean, it's just it is amazing how many. I think it was Safe Cosmetics. There was a website associated with the Skin Deep database that or EWG.org that. SafeCosmetics.org is, I believe, what it is. They said they went around the country doing a study and found that there are 25 cancer-causing, endocrine and thyroid-disrupting, hormone-disrupting ingredients, carcinogens and the like, in everyday cosmetics, and that men had 12 on average of the people they tested, and women had 16 on a daily, on any given day.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Yes. It is pretty amazing. We need to take another break. And when we come back, we'll start talking about what are the safe things that you can do to protect your skin. And we'll talk about vitamin D, too, because vitamin D in the sun is a really important issue. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Michael Russ, author of Skincare Decoded, and he's at PureSunscreen.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Michael Russ, and he's the author of Sun Care Decoded, and you can visit his website at puresunscreen.com, where he has a variety of natural sunscreen products, including sunscreen in different strengths, moisturizers, things for babies, what stuff to put on if you've got a sunburn, and you can see his book, Sun Care Decoded, which has lots more information in it than we have time to cover here. So, Michael, tell us more now about your natural sunscreen product.
Well, the simplest way to describe our product is that it sets itself apart from other sunscreens because it was invented by, it's the only sunscreen out there that we know of that's been invented by a gentleman who had basal and squamous carcinoma skin cancer. He's about 70 now. And when he invented Melanosol, he reverse-engineered it. He took a look back at what caused his condition, which is ultimately years of excessive free radical damage. And so he said, well, what helps, what eliminates them? What controls them on the skin? And it's antioxidants that do that. Antioxidants in your body and antioxidants that you could put on top of your skin. So he invented an antioxidant technology that is what we call bioactive. When you put it on your skin, it soaks in, and it's continuously re-energizing, continuing to help your body maintain a balance of free radicals on the skin so that the free radicals don't overrun your body's own processes or ability to protect yourself from them, and so that you don't get your skin cells don't get stressed, and which can lead to sunburn and other bad cellular damage that can lead to way down the line DNA mutations in the cells that cause that come up as basal and squamous carcinoma skin cancer. So it's that, it's conditioning, it's hydrating ingredients, nourishing ingredients, ingredients that are anti-inflammatories, that help rejuvenate, help your skin repair. On top of that, we use the NPA certified all of our product ingredients. It was important for us to do this because natural doesn't mean natural anymore.
We should say that NPA is the Natural Products Association, and we're actually having a representative on from that association tomorrow. So tune in and find out all about what they're doing, and you'll see. Yeah.
They're a great organization. Really a fabulous. They're the only organization in the country that will certify a natural product and products ingredients. And it was important because we wanted people to know for sure. People kept saying, well, what does 100% natural mean? Well, it means that from origin to being placed in the product, the Natural Products Association said has certified that each ingredient has not had any chemical contamination, because you can actually preserve a natural green tea leaf in chemicals. You don't want that in your product either, right?
Yeah.
So that certification took a while, but it is incredibly important. We're very proud of it. We're only one of five different brands of sunscreen, natural sunscreen, to have the natural seal.
Good. Good for you. So one thing I picked up from listening to what you just said was that it's not just, I mean, when we're looking at ingredients, we're looking to see, are they natural ingredients or are they petrochemical or toxic ingredients? Mm-hmm. But you were talking about something that goes beyond just what are the source of the ingredients, and you were talking about the effectiveness of them of being bioactive. And I think that that's a really important point to emphasize, because you can take natural ingredients and put them on your skin, but if they're not bioactive, then they're not being as effective as if they were.
Yeah, there's a certain bioactivity to everything that you put on. There are different forms of green tea. There's some that have low polyphenol count as an antioxidant, and those that have a really high polyphenol count, which are the lower ones aren't as bioactive. You want the most bioactive possible. And that's really what we have tried to do. I think we've fully achieved putting together a synergistic combination.
I think you have a really good ingredients list. And I want to say what I'm about to say, I'm making a point to say over and over and over on this show. And that is that there's a difference between simply avoiding toxic chemicals and actually doing something that's beneficial. And so not only has this product eliminated the toxic ingredients that we were talking about earlier, but that they're actually taking that step beyond to actually having the product make a beneficial effect on your body. And I think that that's even better than non-toxic. You know, it is actually being healing and protective and doing all these good things. So very well done.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us about vitamin D. Don't sunscreens block vitamin D? And how does this one work with vitamin D?
Well, you're absolutely correct. I believe it was a professor at the University of Zurich was doing some studies and found that an SPF of 6 is enough to block the vitamin D process in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we mentioned, the sun protection factor blocks is a gauge of how much UVB light is blocked. UVB light is the essential, ultraviolet B is the essential light spectrum that we want to be exposing our skin to in order to engage that process of vitamin D production. As we know, vitamin D is a hormone. It's not a vitamin, something our body produces naturally. Sunscreens... our position with regard to this is that, and we stated in the book, that people need to out of common sense and for health reasons, as a health regimen, design time during the week, 3-4 days during the week where that time is set aside to generate vitamin D in their body, to expose their skin to sunlight. You won't use sunscreen, but you should focus on antioxidants, both internal through supplementation and through, we make a moisturizer that people can put on, slather on, to help protect the skin from free radical damage without having the blocking of the UVB light. But what you have to do is set that time aside. For somebody who has very, very fair skin, it may be anywhere between 20 minutes, 25 minutes. It could be 15 to 25 minutes. Something we talked about earlier, some of the current studies about vitamin D are pretty much shedding light on the fact that the best time to get your vitamin D is actually the time when everybody tells you to stay out of the sun, and that is between somewhere around 11 and 2. When the sun is at the peak in the sky is when the rays, its UVB rays, are more intense because it's like a bell curve, low in the morning, high in the midday. And so if you go out in the morning for 15, 20 minutes, the sun angle is not optimal for generating vitamin D in the body. In midday, it is. Now, you will stay out for a shorter period of time, but the rays will be a little bit more intense. And this is what the studies are showing. And so our point is, you don't go out and get, and if you're going to be out 3 or 4 hours in the sun, refuse to put sunscreen on for the first half an hour and then put sunscreen on and say that that first half hour was my vibe time for vitamin D. You have to make sure that you set aside just a specific time, go out, do it, and come back in inside, and use longer periods for wearing sunscreen.
Yes, it's important to make sure that you get some time in the sun, a short period of time. We're not talking about burning your skin, like, you know, people going out to the beach all day long, but we're talking about having that time in the sun for your body's health. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Michael Ress, author of Sun Care Decoded. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Michael Ress, and he's the author of Sun Care Decoded, and you can go get a copy of it for only 99 cents at puresunscreen.com. And if you use sunscreen, this is well worth reading and find out why you should not be using toxic chemical ingredients in sunscreen, how to choose a sunscreen, why you should use a natural sunscreen, why you need vitamin D, all these things. Here's another thing we haven't talked about, and that is babies and children. What do we need to know about putting sunscreen on babies and kids?
Well, babies and children, what we have to understand first is obviously something that parents know more than anybody else, is that their skin is just developing. You definitely want to keep toxins away from babies. They study from, I believe, the Environmental Working Group, it concluded that over 200 chemicals already existed in a baby's bloodstream the moment they were born.
Let me add, when I first heard that study, I thought, oh, they're telling us something new, like babies hadn't been contaminated with chemicals prior to that date when they first did that study. But what I found out by reading Silent Spring by Rachel Carson is that going all the way back to 1944, anybody born starting in 1944, we already had toxic chemicals in our bodies. They just started measuring it recently.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's something that, you know, the moment that anybody starts using chemicals on everyday products that we engage in, you know, carpets and paints and other things, I mean, listen, they're off-gassing. You and I both know how bad that can be. Our point is, don't put chemicals, don't add to this toxicity. Right. And for what parents really need to understand is that kids need to, that you need to have a three-prong approach, not just to jump to sunscreen every time as the go-to item when people go out, when they're sending their children outside. And on a daily basis, I think you and I both know, I mean, I'm old enough to know that back when I was growing up, parents, the first thing they did was not just slather sunscreen all over their children. So it's when they're going to school and otherwise. Vitamin D is incredibly important, and the flu shot is something that is there's millions of dollars spent to promote flu shots, and influenza is a problem. And the best defense against influenza, against any disease, is your own body, your own body's mm-hmm. immune system. And slathering sunscreen on kids really compromises that immune system, because these children are not outside long enough to get their vitamin D. They're inside playing video games and other things, doing things inside. And you know, when we were growing up, kids were getting together in the neighborhood and playing in the street, right?
Right,
and
right.
Much healthier. So sunscreen, baby sunscreens are not, chemical baby sunscreens are not as safe as what they're laid out to be. They've got toxic chemicals in them, from everything from stabilizers, modifiers, synthetic preservatives, petrochemicals, alcohol. I mean, they got all these things in them, and sprays are the absolute worst. Got to stay away from sprays. Is just an invitation to now breathe in these chemicals instead of just putting them on the skin and confining them to entering your body that way, getting in through the eyes, the nose, and then through the mouth, into the lungs. And there are no studies that show what these chemicals are going to do 20, 30 years from now. So we know what they do when you put them on your skin and they go in your body, with how they disrupt and how they create free radicals. But parents must be, let's not fall for the marketing aspect of things. We have to be much, much more concerned about the sunscreen we put on, when we put it on. And here's one thing that we came up with when we were writing this book. Developing a person, a child, needs to know what their tolerance for sunlight is.
Yes.
And, when I was growing up, if a child got sunburned, the parent would say, "See, you stayed out too long. Now you know what your limitations are, not to do that again." And so we don't do this. We're quick to put sunscreen on and run outside. So here's the key. Here's the formula that we point out in the book. You go outside at the heat of the day, no sunscreen on, and you pay attention to when you're beginning to experience the signs of skin stress. That would be a little bit of pinkishness. You could see it, mm-hmm. Touch your skin. Whatever that period of time is, half that period of time is appropriate for your vitamin D exposure without.
That's a very good formula. That's a very good formula.
Yeah, so knowing your tolerance for sun exposure is key, and that's just, you've got to pay attention to your body's own biofeedback mechanism. And if you've got five people in a household, all five of them can have a different time frame because skin pigments vary, right?
I was actually just about to ask you that question, because you have in your book, and I put in my ebook too, about the different skin types. You have skin types and the recommended Melancel products, but it tells you the different skin types, and there's actually are numbered. There's an official
Frederick scale.
There's a scale that are mm-hmm. numbered, and that you can look at that chart and tell what type of skin you have, and it gives you an idea of how careful you need to be and what strength of product you need to use when you're out in the sun.
General gauge.
I just thought of something. I'm going to go ahead and talk for a minute, because I want to look this up online before I say it.
About the Frederick scale?
Yeah, talk about the Frederick scale.
Yeah, it's interesting, because people who have darker skin need to use, darker skin already filters a high degree of UVA and UVB light. And so it's kind of like darker skin is already a sunscreen, so why would you put on higher percentages of sunscreen? So people with darker skin need to focus more on antioxidants than SPF and emollients, because their skin can dry out much more quickly. Of course, that's also geographic in nature as well. As we move up the scale, it's a 6, and you move to a 5, which is a little bit less dark, and then 4 and 3, 2, 1 is extremely fair. Maybe it would be red hair, freckles, very, very fair, very pale skin, where the burning is almost guaranteed. A sunburn is almost guaranteed if you stay out for extended period of time. So one of my pet peeves is to get people who are who have very dark skin or medium dark skin to lighten up on the SPF. Lighten up on it. You don't need as much. When you have a base tan, you don't need as much. But really the focus needs to be on antioxidants through, again, supplements and through a sunscreen that is very, very strong in bioactive antioxidants as well.
Thank you. So, yes, I found what I was looking for. I suddenly remembered about something about that you will burn more easily if you eat a lot of sugar. You know, it's like if you put something, if you put sugar in the oven, something that has a lot of sugar in it, it gets really brown. And it was kind of the same thing with your skin, that it, people who eat a lot of sugar will burn more easily. And I didn't want to say that.
I haven't heard that one before. But
well, actually, what I was thinking was that I used to burn a lot more easily than my body burns now. And in particular, I was walking around a few weeks ago. I was in Baltimore for the Natural Products Expo. And I was just walking around in the sun in the middle of the day for about 3 or 4 hours in the summer sun in downtown Baltimore, and not in the shade, in the sun, and I did not get a sunburn. And I noticed this. And I eat hardly any sugar at all. I mean, I don't eat refined white sugar at all, but even natural sweeteners, I eat hardly any of it. I don't eat refined flour, any of those things. And I found it online that other people are reporting the same thing, that when you have a whole food diet, that it actually, your body would tolerates sun better than if you eat a junk food diet. And that may not be a scientific study, but people are reporting that, and I've had that experience myself. And that makes sense to me, because our bodies were developed with, you know, people eating food out of the wild, not junk food, not sugar, not refined industrial food. And that they were, you know, walking around outside. And of course, they would have a certain natural tolerance for being able to be in the sun, and that I think that our bodies have lost that tolerance by being indoors eating junk food.
Yeah, I would, you know, I haven't read anything to that effect, but I cannot disagree with it at all, because I do know that when you eat foods that are rich in antioxidants, if you eat lots of blueberries,
right,
which are the highest fruit, the antioxidant-rich fruit, antioxidants internally help build your defense against a sun overexposure, your ability to fight free radicals that gather on your skin as you accumulate as you're walking in the sun. The fact that I think there's certain legumes that are very high. In the book we have I'll just say it, the you type antioxidants under Wikipedia, and there's a chart there that shows you the capacity of antioxidant richness in various foods, and you want to eat those that are on the higher end of the scale if you have fairer skin.
Right.
Excellent. I mean, supplements, clothing, sunscreen, those are the three pillars of sun care, and you just have to use them and employ them with common sense in a self-actualized way. Not just, you know, oh, I need to run out the door, let me throw on a bunch of sunscreen first. Really think about the purpose. Really think about the time you're actually going to be in the sun, the circumstances. Are you going to be on a boat where rays are going to be more intense? Let's bring some protective clothing along, too, because sunscreen leads people into a false sense of security. It does.
Michael, I need to stop you right there, because the show's going to be over in about 2 seconds.
Great.
Thank you so much for being with me. That was very informative. I'm Deborah Lindad. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and thanks for being with me.